I felt for tonight, if you were here this morning, don't worry, I'm not going to teach the same thing. But I am going to build a bit about what we talked about this morning, because we are beginning today a series about devoted. And I want to talk a little bit. I know this is the Lord. I know this is the Lord, actually, what we just did. I know this is the Lord about what Charlie just asked me, some of those questions. This is all weaving together. And one of the things that's great about when we get together as the church, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead, is the Lord often, when he wants to get a message across, he kind of does this thread, doesn't he? And kind of confirms it over and over again. So this, I really do believe that this is a word for us tonight. I changed a little bit just because I feel like in ministry tonight, some of the things that I feel like the Lord has for us, I feel like just to encourage some of you, even as we begin here, because sometimes it's in the waiting. And I really want to encourage you that as I speak, that you would invite the Holy Spirit to teach you and to allow you to hear just the Father's heart for you, that song that we just sang, which I believe is such a powerful song because it really does, I believe, speak identity. And just for the Holy Spirit to speak to us as I speak, because I do feel like some of the things that the Lord wants to do for us tonight have to do with bringing a clarity in our minds, bringing a clarity into how we live, bringing a clarity into the things that are most important. This morning we talked about this whole word of devotion, and the things that we're devoted to are the things that we end up becoming. And tonight I really want to talk about life-saving community. And it was interesting because this afternoon, Simon had asked me, he said, you know, what's one of the things that you, Simon the vest man, that man, the only man that I know wears vests like that, is waistcoats. Is that what you call them? That ruins the whole thing. It doesn't sound right. Yeah. But he asked me, you know, what's something that's on your heart right now? And the truth is, there's a number of things that are on my heart, but there's one thing in particular that the Lord's been talking to me about for some time, and it actually has to do with what we just talked about. So I do know that this is the Lord. You know, growing up in what I've grown up in and being able to see so many things that God has done, one of the things that I have realized, sadly, is that many of the children that I grew up with, first generation Vineyard, no longer follow the Lord. I'm one of only a few. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And I've watched through the years incredibly gifted people, incredibly anointed people, just not do well. And one of the things that the Lord has been stirring me about this last year again is about the things that he's put into place for us as really safety measures. And we were talking about, you know, even devotion today and the things that we're devoted to and the importance of coming together as the church and coming together in fellowship and having communion and in honesty and, you know, kind of being forefront of where we're at and the power of that and the importance of that. But I want to focus us tonight a little bit on just the power of community. And the truth is, you know, when we talk about fellowship and when we talk about community, we talk about devoting ourselves to the right things. You can literally be, you know, in church week in and week out and not be in fellowship, not be in community. This is really a choice. This is an ongoing choice that we have to continue to make to the Lord, that we're going to be committed to the people that he places us around. And I want to use the text tonight out of 1 Peter. And I want to read this because I feel like part of what the Lord wants to do with us in ministry tonight is it's not a fear-based, it's more of a freedom-based. And every time that we read the scripture, we don't read it from a place of fear, we read it from a place of faith. And I believe part of what God wants to give us a picture of is the power of community. And I sort of almost want to build off what I did this morning out of 1 Peter chapter 5. This is you know, Peter talking to the elders, talking to the church about working together. But it also, what I really want to focus on here in chapter 5 is the latter part. But let's begin with verse 1, because I want us to have a context here. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and the one who will also share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples in the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears to you, receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And I really want to focus on that last part here this morning. We really talked about this and being devoted and producing the things that Christ has called us to produce. And there's a safety in that, but there's something about, you know, finishing well. There's something about being strong. There's something about being firm. There's something about being steadfast. There's something about that God has placed things in us to literally last long term. How many of you know it's not just how we start the race, it's also how we finish the race. And we tend to remember how people finish more than where they start anyways. Is that not true? And I think that God's best for us is to finish strong. And one of the things that's been so frustrating for me is I haven't seen this firm, you know, sort of secure, steadfast way. I haven't had great, obviously, you know, great examples, but I've also had so many that weren't. And for me, one of my prayers has always been, Lord, I want to finish well. I want to finish in the way that you have called us to finish. And in this, Peter gives us great insight to the things that we need to just be careful of, the things that, you know, that we have a real enemy. It always surprises me when the church is surprised that we're literally in a spiritual battle. Like, it just surprises me that they don't realize that we're in a spiritual war. Like, this is war, this is battle. And part of that, it's not to be afraid, but it is to be aware. And we're called to be aware so that we can fight in the right way. How many know you can actually do battle the wrong way? You can literally fight the wrong enemy. And lots of times we're fighting the enemy that doesn't exist. And so what Peter does is he says this. He says, be self-controlled and alert. In other words, in your life, you know, we're going to have all sorts of options of what to pick from, but we will have choice. And in the choice, you know, self-control, oftentimes I find that people think self-control is an optional fruit. It's not really something that we're supposed to give ourselves to, but it's actually a way that keeps us living in the place of freedom. In fact, an alert person is the one that chooses to restrain from other things. That's what Peter's talking about here. Another version obviously talks about being sober and being vigilant. In fact, over 20 times, just in the New Testament alone, Jesus refers to being alert. So being alert, being aware. We have a real enemy that's out to get us. I think I was in New Zealand on that trip with Simon, which was a difficult trip, not because of Simon, but it was just difficult. But I was walking along the beach where the Lord always speaks to me by water. And it's good for me. And I'm walking along the beach, and the Lord just begins to talk to me about some things in particular that were going on. And the Lord just reminded me about not being in a hurry. And he said to me, you've got to be careful because the devil's in no hurry to get you. You've got to be aware of what's going on. At the same time, the Lord said to me, I said, Lord, what's going on? And he said, you don't really want to know. And I thought, you know what? I don't want to know. Because the truth is, you don't want to know what God protects you from. If we really saw all the things that God protects us from, we would hide. But there is a spiritual battle, and we do have a covering, and we do have a protection, but there is part of what we're called into. We have a responsibility here, so to speak, to be self-controlled, to be alert. And that means to be calm. It means to be collected in our spirit. It means to give attention to. It means to be cautious. It means to be active. I mean, this is really something that we have to make the choice of, where we're not just going to wait to get hit. If you live in the place of being defensive, if you live in the place of always being defeated, you've already lost before you've even gotten the battle. And many times as a believer, we just take another hit from the enemy, right? Or we're just living in the place that we're already going to fail. But there's really great insight that Peter gives to us about this call of being alert, this call of being cautious, not out of fear, but just out of wisdom. And if you and I are not alert, then there's a high price to pay. That's the truth. There's a high price to pay in that. And a few years ago, about 3 years ago, I was in Africa, and I've had several trips in Africa. I love Africa. Africa is one of those things that gets in you, and it never leaves you. And if you've ever been on a safari or any of those, you know, kinds of trips, it just changes you. And And so I love Africa. But in this, on this trip in particular, I was on a safari. And the gentleman that was leading the safari, he was explaining some things to us about the lion. And the night before, I'd gotten a call that one of our elders in our church that we had known, I pretty much knew my whole life. He was like one of the elders that really raised up a lot of young men. He was a really good man, but he killed himself. And it was just shocking. It was just unbelievably shocking. Here's somebody that we have known for 25 years and is a good man, has been around a really long time, has been tried and faithful and true, and the next thing we know, he's gone. And we were on the safari, and the Lord just began to speak to me. And as the man began to share, he was talking about the lion. We were seeing these pack of lions, and one of the lions went off, and he began to explain how the lion attacks its prey. And, you know, the enemy's a lion looking to devour us, right? And all of a sudden, the Lord just begins to show me this picture, and it just begins to unravel. And as this gentleman was talking, he was talking about what the lion, there's three things that the lion is looking for. The first thing is that they're looking for one that's injured. The animals travel in massive packs together. And what the lion does is he sits on top of these termite hills all throughout, you know, the land, the massive land. And there's, you know, thousands of these termite hills. And the lion just perches himself on top of that, and he's looking for certain things from the pack of animals so that he can get his prey. And one thing he's looking for is he's looking for an animal that's injured. He's looking for one that's limping. He's also looking for someone, an animal that's actually ahead of the pack, thinking that they're leading, but they have no followers. Often what the church looks like today, lots of people that are leading, but there's nobody following them, sadly. And the third thing that the lion looks for is he looks for the animal that thinks that they know it all, they already know everything, so they go out ahead of the pack, and they break the community that they're in, and the lion is waiting right there to pounce on it. And we saw it happen. I saw it happen a few different times. And it's horrible. It's traumatizing, to tell you the truth. I'm not a hunter. My husband is a hunter. So, you know, my husband and son love all that stuff. But I'm not like that. So it was a bit traumatizing. But as it played out, I thought, now that is how the enemy operates. He's a thief. He's not a robber. He's sneaky. He's a snake. And it's like he comes in the back door and he has these things that he's watching us do. And the truth is, it doesn't take a few steps to make the wrong choices to put us in a place where we're open prey. That's the truth. And the only thing that saves the animals is the same thing that saves us, and it is the power of community. Because when these other herds, when they go together and they travel together and they live together, that's the safety. And you watch it play out because there's different giftings. There's different things that each animal, each, you know, sect of animal does. Like one animal can hear really well and they can hear the enemy coming. Another one can see really well and they make these sounds. And what they're doing is they're warning the community. They're warning the other animals that the lion is present. And when we take ourselves outside of that, it's almost like we open ourselves up to being taken out. It's interesting to me that a lion is looking for somebody that actually doesn't need anybody. And we talked about this morning. We talked about the power of being devoted to fellowship, the power of community. There's something about, I feel like this afternoon, the Lord just reminded me again, just the importance of needing each other and the importance of actually saying your need. You know, oftentimes in relationship, we expect other people to know our need, but we never tell them. We never say, this is what I need. This is what I'm struggling with. There's this huge vulnerability gap that we're afraid of. And what it does is it causes us to be vulnerable to the evil one. And again, it's not to be afraid. It's just to be aware. If God's telling us something, he's telling us something for a reason. He's equipping us, and he's saying, this is something that can happen. In fact, Peter himself, he's encouraging us to live in safety, not fear. He's encouraging us. In fact, he's begging us. He's saying, I appeal to you. He's begging. I appeal to you. I'm begging you that you would understand this. I'm begging you. And he gives this whole picture of the community. He gives this whole picture of what it looks like of, you know, people serving each other, loving each other, you know, giving their lives to each other, not for the benefit of money, not for the benefit of fame, not for the benefit of even what we get out of it, but even just the benefit of serving, like just in that humble thing that God has called us into. But I just, you know, I just know that you know, sometimes just being aware and just remembering to be aware is so very important. And here Peter's saying, I'm begging you that you would understand this. In other words, take this serious. This is not something to take lightly. And remember, it's in Romans 8 where Paul, the Apostle Paul, my favorite, he talks about, you know, that all creation is groaning. And here Peter, I don't have time, but, you know, is kind of addressing this whole thing of the suffering and in community, even the suffering that we go through. And you can't really have the power without the suffering. We want the power, we just don't want the suffering. But you can't have power without walking the road of suffering. It's like we celebrate the resurrection so much, but we forget the cross. It's the way of the cross. And there's something that happens to us in suffering, but really to suffer without community is not the way that God has ordained it. It's that we're walking through life together. There's a power that we're devoted to each other and that we're covering each other. We have each other's backs and we're kind of warning each other what's going on. And so it's important, and there's so many reasons why I strongly believe in community. And to tell you the truth, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not very good at it. That's the truth. I'm actually not very good at it. I'm super independent. Shocking that might be. But I'm really independent, and I've had to force myself to be committed and to be devoted. Why? Because I wanted a church of community. And I knew that if I couldn't do it, they weren't going to do it. And I live where it's quite independent, and it's really like that everywhere. Not everywhere, but here. I don't mean to shock you, but we have these independent lives, and I'm so passionate about the power of the community that God places around us because it protects us, and what it protects us is to become all that we're supposed to become in our destiny without being taken out by the evil one. And with it, it's God's plan for us. It's God's provision for us. And without it, we are an open target. That's just the bottom line. You are an open target without the community around you. You are an open target without the fellowship that God places you around. And therefore, when we see people struggle, when we see people that actually make choices that open themselves up to the enemy, it should cause us to be concerned. It should literally bother us. As you watch the animals call out to each other, to warn each other, like this is what's happening. The lion is present. He's going to devour you. There's something kind about community that when somebody is opening themselves up to a roaring lion, we are concerned. And how we do that is everything. Isn't that the truth, right? I've learned that there's lots of people that want to tell me what they think I should do with my life. There's not a shortage of people that have an opinion of what I'm supposed to do. But the truth is, there has to be some people around you that you listen to, that you hear from, because it's for your own protection. It's for my own protection. And so the word here that Peter uses is, and he uses that word begging, but he also says, you know, to be eager. And he literally refocuses and says, instead of responding to the enemy, I want you to respond to Christ. And in responding to Christ, that looks like serving each other. In other words, find your place. Find your place in the community that God has placed you in and give your heart full on there. Wherever it is that God has called you, wherever it is that God has asked you to serve, give yourself wholeheartedly. That's basically what Peter's saying. He's saying instead of responding to the devil, which so much of the time I think we live from the place of fear, and we're always responding to what will go wrong, and we have these sort of what-ifs, which is warfare, by the way. And what Peter's saying is he's saying, listen, don't respond to that. Just find your place in the community. If you find yourself in the community, then you're going to find the protection that God has for you. Does that make sense? It's the power that God has placed us around, and it's always for a reason. So we all have a place, and here Peter talks about that the elders have a place and the young have a place, but the only way that this works is if humility is present. The only way that this operates in the way that God has called us to operate is the power of the church, is that we clothe ourselves with humility. In other words, get dressed in it. Get dressed in humility. Love each other. You know, see yourself for what you are, but at the same time, be concerned about your brothers and sisters around you, praying for them, you know, encouraging them, the power of that. We talked about that this morning. But it's also why even God himself says, listen, I want you to walk in humility, because if you walk in pride, I actually have to oppose you. It's not just that he can't ignore us, not just ignore us, he actually opposes it. In other words, when I think about humility, it's almost like where God has to object pride, because what he's doing is it's for our own safety, because he knows that pride, what follows pride, a big fall. In other words, where pride is present, a great fall is present. And God opposes pride. What he's saying is, I'm going to have mercy on you because I know that if you walk in this, you're going to fall. And I don't want you to fall. Therefore, I have to oppose it. I don't want that to be in your life. And so there is something about community and just walking in humility. Is humility not the most attractive thing? When somebody's humble? Not when they're telling you they're humble, but when they're literally humble. They're walking in it. They're clothed in it. It's just part of who they are. They know who they are. And I'm not talking about putting yourself down. I don't think that's more spiritual. Sometimes the church does that. We put ourselves down and we think that's more spiritual. That's not more spiritual. It's stupid. It doesn't even make any sense. We're to dress ourselves in a humility, but it's towards one another, that we're literally seeing ourselves clear and we're seeing the people around us clear as well. And so Peter is giving this insight of walking in humility, humbly submitting to our elders, this look of the church, the power of the church, being devoted to the church and whoever it is that God has placed over us. But then the promise here is that God puts us under his mighty hand. And this is where so many people misunderstand the power of fellowship, the power of just even spiritual authority. When we submit to the people around us and when we're in community the way that God has intended us, he literally puts us under his mighty hand. The enemy has no access to us. Sometimes we think that we're under the mighty hand of a leader. It's not about that. It's about, I'm submitting to you because I am under the mighty hand of God. Therefore, I have a covering. I am protected by God himself. Do you see this? There is a real lion that's wanting to devour you, wanting to kill, wanting to, you know, destroy your life. And your safety that God has placed around you is under his mighty hand, under the people that he's called you to do life with. It's a powerful insight that God has given to us. We are safest under his hand, under his protection. In fact, the other promise here is grace. There's a grace that comes with this. Grace, I think, always accompanies humility. And when humility is present, grace seems to be present. They kind of work together, I think. But if we go before that, is where we get into trouble. When we go on our own is when we get into trouble. When we get separate from the people that we love, and we get separate from community, and we get separate from the things that God has placed in our life, that's when we become an open target for the enemy. When we think we know everything, you know what I found as the church? Sometimes we know way too much. And I think sometimes what we know actually keeps us from more of him. Because we already know everything. We already know how God's going to move. We already know how God's going to save. We already know what God's going to do. We already know how God delivers. And sometimes we've just seen too much. Sometimes we know too much. And it keeps us from more of him. Because God never does the same thing again. He's always moving. He's a great creator who still creates. There's so many things we have not seen. There's so many things we have not heard. There's so many things that God's wanting to do in us and through us. And I do believe that that will come out of the power of community. It will be through the manifest wisdom of the church, he tells us in Ephesians. So what is this going to take? This is going to take self-control. Again, self-control. Fighting that selfish sort of, I want to have my own way. I want to have life my own way. I want to choose who I want to choose. I want to sleep who I want to sleep with. I want to do whatever it is I want to do. And then I want to show up to church and, you know, just hope everything's okay. This does take choice. It's not just being self-controlled and alert. They go together in being able to say no to the right things so that we can say yes to the right things. No to the right things? No to the wrong things so we can say yes to the right things. It all goes together. It's just really important that we understand self-control is not an optional fruit. And selfishness, I do believe, will always fight self-control. Always wanting your own way. Always wanting what you want. It fights relationship and it fights self-control. When someone wants their own way, it is the doorway to trouble when I see it. It's a flag. I want my way. I want what I want when I want it. And really, you can tell that that's when somebody, you know, literally, people do not leave the church overnight. People do not leave community overnight. It is a process. It is a process of a thinking that begins to take place where we begin to separate ourselves from God and each other. The very two powerful things that God has given to us for our own safety, from relationship with him and relationship with each other. They keep us in the place of being alert. And the things that we can't see, that's why the people around us see them for us and protect us in a way that we wouldn't be able to protect ourselves. So this isn't about being able to stand. You know, there is a suffering, there is a hardship, there is an enemy and all of that. But we don't focus on that. We don't focus on the devil. We focus on the power of Christ, and we just say yes to it. We set our will to it. In other words, I set my will to be devoted to the church. Not because it's perfect. It's because what Christ has asked me to do. I set my will to, you know, be devoted and faithful to my husband. Well, listen, I've been married 25 years. And, you know, we've had, our ups and our downs in marriage. And, you know, there's times when, you know, I've been right and he's been wrong. And, you know, it all works itself out. There's been times that I've prayed, Lord, take him or I'll send him. There's been lots of times like that. But I have just set my will. I'm devoted to that man because I made my commitment to God. In other words, my devotion to my husband really honestly has nothing to do with my husband, poor guy. It has to do with my devotion to God. I'm committed to my God. That's really what it is. So I choose to say no. I choose to be alert and to have self-control in some areas. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it keeps me safe. It keeps me in the place, I believe, of freedom, of lasting long-term. Real community brings safety and warning. In other words, I don't think it makes any sense to be in a community, and this is what we formed in the church, I believe. Probably not your church, just my church. But what we formed is we formed like, I don't want to say anything to you because I don't want to cross over that boundary. I don't want to warn you that actually that's not a good thing because, you know, I don't want to, you know, overstep maybe where you don't want me to be. Now, I believe that there's a wisdom, you know, there's a timing. You don't hear from everybody. You want to be open, but you don't want to be so open that your brains fall out, right? I mean, there's a wisdom to that. But I don't understand community in the way that God has ordained it with the animals. See, the animals haven't changed. People have changed. If the way that God has ordained it, that when there is a warning of the lion being present, that everybody's giving the warning, all the other animals. So it makes no sense to me that you and I, as the community of the church, would not say, don't do that thing because the enemy will take you out. It doesn't make any sense. Yet in the church, we've like created these cultures of almost we think they're safety or I'm just giving you your space, which I love space. I'm a space person, just so you know that tonight after the service. I mean, I'm a space person. But it is not loving. It is not loving. If you know that the lion is waiting to devour me, and you don't tell me. It's not loving. Now, how we do that, again, is everything, is it not? Not like, what, are you stupid? You're going to do that? You know where you're going to end up? I mean, there is a way to handle it, right, that God has given to us. It just doesn't make any sense to me that we don't actually warn each other because that's the way that God has set it up. And one of the things that scares me, does this ever scare you? When somebody says, I'll never do that. Anytime somebody says, I'll never do that, I just go, phew. Because it just makes me nervous. I believe we're all really one step away from stupid. That's really what I believe. I believe you can be the most spiritual person, but we're really all one step away from stupid. And we all need each other, right? It only takes a couple wrong steps to find your place in front of the lion. And so the encouragement, if this is, it's supposed to be, is that you need each other. You need each other. There's nothing more powerful than the church. There's nothing more powerful than community. When it's done in the way that God has intended it, there's nothing more powerful. That's why the enemy is always attacking it, because it has the potential. See, the enemy will always go after what has the most potential to change you and to change the people around you. That's what he'll go after. And really, it is fellowship, isn't it? It's community. Is that not true? Does the enemy not try to isolate you? So I feel for tonight some things that I feel like the Lord wanted me to lead us in ministry. And it's all good. It's all good because anytime we get together and the Lord has something to say to us, it's a wonderful thing because he's looking out for us. And he looks out for us in all kinds of different ways, doesn't he? Even the ways that we can't see. How many of you know you don't know everything? Let's start there. Only saw a few hands. I'm a little worried. Let me look over here. More hands, please. Okay, a little bit. But why don't you go ahead and stand? Let's do this. Now, I just like to do this If you don't mind, I just like to pray God's word over our heart. You know, the enemy loves to come in and steal God's word from us. And so I just want to seal that just with God's spirit. You might be new here tonight. You may not know Jesus. And, you know, we would love to pray for you tonight and love to tell you more about who he is. But if you don't mind, just put your hand over your heart. Now, again, you don't have to do this. This is not going to hurt you, okay? Nobody's going to come up behind you. Now, Lord, we just thank you for your presence that's here. Lord, we thank you for the power of your presence. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we thank you that your word sharpens us. Lord, that it challenges us. Lord, that it encourages us, Lord, but it also keeps us in truth, Lord. It keeps us in freedom. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'd seal all of this truth over our heart tonight, Lord, that it would go deep within us. Lord, that it would go deep within who we are, Lord, that we would learn to live a life in community. And Lord, that we would be aware. We would be aware, Lord. And just to be alert that we are in a battle. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're the one that fights the battles. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you protect us from things, Lord, we don't want to know about. And Lord, just seal all that over our spirit tonight. Now come, Holy Spirit.